What's up, everybody? Welcome to episode 19 of The Overview. I'm Chammy MV. That's Jason Kaplan. That's Shade, and that's Fish Sticks. How's everybody doing today?
Good, man.
Confused today.
lots to ponder this fine afternoon.
Oh my gosh, yes, lots of things to ponder, particularly about competitive mode. We'll definitely be talking a long time about competitive mode, so be ready for that. We'll also talk about some esports events, as we always do, and some just general community things. Maybe some things for even some beginning players, because we never give enough love to beginners. And I've had like three or four people tweet us that they like the show and they're just getting into Overwatch. So I figured, maybe we just add something that people can check out. At the end, Q&A as always. Tweet your questions to the Overview GG, or you can just tweet them straight to me at ChamMV, and we'll read them out at the end. Okay, guys. Well, the just competitive mode is coming up. Hasn't been officially launched, but it is out on the PTR servers right now. Jeff released a new developer update video shortly after our show last week, and mentioned a lot of specifics. Not all the specifics, but I figured we should talk about some of them. Do you guys get a chance to check that video out from Jeff?
Is Jason eating?
Yep.
Is Jason eating? Of course he's eating.
I'm working on my gains.
Have you seen his meal plan? He's got all these meals like laid out from his trainer. So I know that's like a 10 meal a day type of thing. But yeah, so
all I know is I went to the TakeOver finals and like you took a big bite of pizza like right as the finals cast was starting. I'm like, Jason, come on.
I did?
Yeah.
Dude, I was
like,
so
you're like
hungry.
Eating pizza while the finals begins. Anyway, I had to point that out in detail.
Okay, to be fair, you should know this. I cast the best when I'm extremely comfortable, meaning I'm full on food and I'm not too hot or not too cold. Swear to God, that's how I cast the best. Which is
so you've never been comfortable?
Wait. Doesn't everybody cast that? Well, oh, that's brutal. That's brutal right there.
But yeah, I agree. Yes, when you know you're content and happy, you're much better.
Yeah, I mean everybody casts better when they're relaxed and comfortable or whatnot. Anyways, okay, getting back to competitive mode. So Jeff had this video talking about a lot of things. Some of the things he mentioned were, he started off the video saying that there's going to be some new heroes, new maps down the road, and spec mode features will be coming too. Then he started getting into the competitive mode, and he mentioned three-month seasons, which I think we all were pretty clear on, even just last episode, which is good. I think we all agree is a good thing, right?
I mean, it's better than one-month seasons, which they had originally talked about doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm hit or miss.
What?
I like the longer season, but I really enjoyed the League of Legends type system where you had basically a year. Wow. It wasn't really a year, but that plus the whole format of having different rankings like bronze, silver, gold, platinum, diamond, master, challenger. Mm-hmm. But then you're like ranked in that kind of area. I don't know. 3 months, it's not bad. It's definitely better than a month for me. Only problem is if like, assuming there's a lot of events coming up, like when will people have time, like pro players and casters, to even really participate as much in that? I mean, they got us 3 months instead of one because one would have been a big problem. But
I think it's a lot different too from any other like rank system in a game similar to this. Like, it's not really like the League system, it's not really like the CSGO system, it's more progression-based than anything. So I think because of that, the three-month system is okay. But if they were going with anything besides a progression kind of based system, it wouldn't really work.
Mm-hmm. I could see that, yeah. In terms of the pro players, when we talk about competitive mode and even just in-game ladders and things like that, how much does it actually play a role for teams that already scrim against other teams? And I mean, is it going to be that big a deal for pro players to be high in this competitive ladder mode?
I think people will probably start making the arguments of like, oh, I'm higher rated than this pro player. Does that mean I'm better than them? Like, mm-hmm. You kind of already see that already, actually, yeah. With the level system. Mm-hmm. If you watch Twitch chat during like events and tournaments and stuff, people in chat will see a player's like level or something, and they'll be like, oh, what, this person's such a noob, like they're only level like 25 or 35.
Whoa,
or
calm down, I'm like barely 35, all right.
I'm 74, come on, Jason.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't actually realize that you don't get XP from custom games. So even though these teams may be scrimming like 8 to 10 hours a day, which some of them actually are, it doesn't look like that if you just look at their accounts based off of level. So we kind of see that already, and I think that will probably continue to happen based off this progression rank system if pro players don't necessarily have the time to play ranked. Because, I mean, nothing's going to change, right? If they don't have the time to play quick match now, they're probably still not going to have the time to play ranked after releases either.
Right, right. Ben, what do you think? I mean, are teams going to be playing ranked together? Or does it even matter, honestly, for pro players?
Well, all the teams are scrimming all the time. There's no problem for top teams to find high level scrims right now. Mm-hmm. And that talent pool is just growing over and over, time and time again, it's just growing. But still, it's going to be useful. I mean, it's still going to be useful in some ways. If you look at StarCraft, all the top Korean pros laddered a shit ton, and that's not really the same. I mean, in a game like Overwatch, it's much more important to find very serious scrims, whereas 1v1 ladders, you know, you can be serious even if you're just queuing up. But I mean, it'll be useful, but ultimately I'd expect most of the teams to just continue with their scrim.
I think it'd be funny if we started seeing teams scrimming ranked, like just queuing as a 6-queue in ranked and trying to get matched up against other teams just so that they can play ranked and scrim at the
same time. Everybody's going to want those golden guns, and everybody's going to want
of course, you know,
the ego boost that comes along with being like number one in the region or whatever. So I'm sure we'll see some of the top teams do that, but for the most part, they're just going to scrim, pretty sure.
Yay. I think there's something also very big about it that hasn't been mentioned yet, and that should be very highlighted in it, is I do think pro players will play it a lot, because this is a good way for people who are undiscovered and could potentially be the new pro players for them to get noticed. Seeing Tevic, you know, playing in the highest MMR or whatever, or, you know, Tailspin, whatever you name it, any top player playing at the higher echelons of ranked, and they see this guy that's like, oh my god, he's absolutely insane. The chance of him being on a pro team, or at least having a chance to be tried out when there's a pro slot available, is very high. So I think it's very good for people who didn't have early beta access to become a pro player.
Oh yeah,
I think that's one of the key things we need to keep in mind.
No question that unknown players, this is amazing, you know, proving ground for them. It's just a matter of just the pro teams and whether they're going to be playing six mans. You know, if the actual rankings of the ladder reflect the world rankings, that's the part that I was kind of asking. And
League did something interesting with it, where so there was solo queue, well, you could duo as a max, and then there was team queue, and they took the top like 10 teams or whatever, like at the end of the season, they would close it. Like the top teams would play for like a chance to qualify for LCS or for Challenger or something like that.
Yeah.
It'd be interesting to see if they do something like that for like big tournaments. Like say, you know, the top 20 teams will play in a qualifier, or top 24 teams will play in a qualifier to participate in this big tournament. That'd be really cool to see.
Yeah. I mean, having the ladder matter, right, is something that StarCraft has done too. So that's a cool concept. And again, it's a great place for unknown players to actually make a splash in some sense, getting on teams or even just being able to compete for whatever tournament. I can see tournaments just using the ladder rankings. Maybe there's some kind of ladder specific tournament that they use that as a requirement for who what teams get in. Okay.
Yeah, who knows? Maybe Blizzard says we seed all of our tournaments based on ladder ranking, and then all the top teams start queuing up all the time.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a kind of cool concept. I wouldn't mind. I don't think there's anything really wrong with that.
Yeah,
So cool to be able to just like see their matches being played, click it, be like, I want to spectate this match, and then just drop in and watch them play it. That'd be so cool.
Ooh.
What?
The teams would love that.
If you want to high strat, you do them in scrims. If you're playing for the ranking, then you have to use them now.
But like if you're boot camp. No team is going to queue ranked over that then.
Yeah. Yeah, that's probably true.
Give away their strats.
I mean, you're kind of giving away your strats when you scrim anyways. So it's
to specific teams, though, in which you can choose who you're scrimming, so you don't have to give away strats to teams that you don't want to if you don't want to scrim them.
Dude, I just
if
hope
you're
we
just
don't
queuing, then you could get queued into somebody that you might necessarily want to play.
This isn't the beginning of barcodes, right?
You can't use maps, so if you're scrimming in ranked, then you could get put on like Volskaya or Honomura, and then what's the point of that? Like, you just basically spend 5, 10 minutes on a map that you're never actually going to end up playing competitive anyway, so it's like a waste of time.
Well, I mean, I can see arguments for both, actually, and I just hope we never get to this StarCraft where literally everybody on the top of the ladder are barcodes and thing, you know, people just hiding accounts and things like that. So
that
still happens, which is kind of crazy.
I remember Todd actually played in the ESO offices, and he would play against a barcode and instantly tell me who it is just off their play style.
Really?
That was like the craziest thing I've ever seen.
Yeah, that's impressive, man, when you can do that. Okay, well, Jeff goes on and talks about, I guess we'll get into some specifics with some of the format changes in a second, but he did mention skill rating. So each of us will have a skill score, skill rating that, you know, that will be used to, you know, just kind of balance or match up the teams in the matchmaking system. There's this concept of skill rating for the individual as well as just an average skill rating, I think, for the team. What do you guys think of this?
Okay, one of the things that immediately freaked me out when I watched the competitive video from Jeff mm-hmm. was that he mentioned they were going to show
yep.
skill rating
yep.
at the beginning of games for both teams.
Yep.
That is freaking terrifying. Like, that Why? Is going to turn this into the most toxic thing ever. Because what's going to happen is the lowest MMR, the lowest skill rating person on your team is just going to get bashed into the ground as soon as the game starts. Because if they do one thing wrong in the game, the entire team is going to be like blaming it on the lowest skill person, even if it's not their fault.
Well, first off, all right, like given that there's a lot of players, right? The range of how, you know, the skill average or the skill range of which the players that we grouped, it shouldn't be like this guy has 100 while the rest of us have 500. You know, it's not going to be anything drastically bad like that. So I know where you're coming from, though.
I mean, they should just show it. I'm fine with showing it, but show it at the end of the game, not at the beginning of the game. Like, there's no reason to show it at the very start. It's going to immediately put bad taste in people's mouths.
The only thing I'm slightly worried about is that people will see when I'm getting carried by a pro player in rank, and I'm going to be a little bit ashamed of that, but at the same time, I'm going to laugh my way to some free MMR, so.
Okay. Then
sounds like you got it all planned out.
How do you think I got Diamond in League of Legends?
I mean, I feel kind of dumb about this particular topic, because I don't play Dota, I don't play League, I don't play most of these. I don't play CSGO. I don't know how these other games do it, but don't they all show your ranking in those games mostly?
Not at the beginning.
CS is end of the game. League of Legends, beginning of the game.
Yeah.
No.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
You see a border. You don't see an actual
a border.
MMR. I mean, it's a general skill level. Yeah, it's a general
skill. The border is the previous season.
Yeah, but it's a general sign. Yeah, it's true.
And you can't say it's general sign. And because there's always huge season changes in League of Legends that drastically change the way the game is played for the most part. So it's not always relevant to...
It's not completely accurate.
It's a general consensus of like your general skill rating. Yeah, it doesn't tell you exactly. Technically, at the end of the game, you can always look it up by clicking their name. But then again, when you're loading in the game, there's like third-party programs you could use to see what MMR they are or what division
they are. But it's not directly in the game is what I'm saying. Like, if we have to use a third-party program, then... whatever, stuff like that, that's going to happen. But for Blizzard to be like, oh, we think it's okay to put it at the beginning of the game and expect people to not be toxic about it and not be hurtful to their teammates, like, that is absolutely going to happen. I guarantee it.
Yeah, I don't disagree.
Partially an FPS community, it's not the cleanest thing.
I think Blizzard's shown, though, that they're really against toxicity. I mean, the amount of people who got voice or chat banned in the beta was pretty high. Like, I even know a couple of people who got chat banned. Mm-hmm. I agree. It can be a little toxic, but I feel like they will handle the most toxic people. I think any game you play, there's always toxicity, but
or
I feel like they're going to...
don't put MMR showing at the beginning of the game.
Well, I mean,
I'd rather see it just to compare where I am to everyone.
Yeah, I think the transparency...
You can see that at the end.
I don't know. I mean, okay, beginning or end, I guess, is debatable, but having it be transparent, I think, is cool. I mean, I think this is like... the first time we're actually seeing this, where an actual score will be shown to us, and we can be assured in some way that these teams were fair, right? Otherwise, it's a little, you know, it's been behind, you know, this kind of mask as to whether, you know, we just got paired up because it took too long, and then we got paired up against some either super good team or super bad team, and it just kind of felt like a waste of time whenever we did that. So I do like the transparency. Whether to put it at the end or not, I guess, I don't know. For me, I can see your argument about it being more toxic, but at the same time, I like being assured that, oh, these teams are fair too right off the bat. It kind of feels better.
I think there's also a certain level of, I mean, I could be completely overreaching this and making it up, which wouldn't surprise me. A little bit of skill when it, not skill, yeah, skill, like game awareness when it comes to that. If I see their lowest player
yeah,
is playing like a DPS player, I'd be like, all right, well, ideally we should be able to kill him relatively easy. But if you see like their highest player, a support, you're like, okay, we want to focus that support down because he can probably carry the team kind of thing. So it's very minuscule, right. Yeah. And I agree, maybe it should be put towards the end of the game, but there's, I mean, I'd rather have them show an MMR general than not show it. Like, to me, that's
really
nice. Well,
then I would rather them just show an overall average MMR for the game and not... Didn't Link do that at one point? Didn't they show an average ranking for the game in the loading screen or something like that?
I don't believe they showed an average ranking, but
for the team,
the higher MMR team... Yeah, the higher MMR team would start blue side every time.
That might have been a third-party program thing, but I know that nothing happens...
The higher MMR team starts on the red or purple side every time, yeah. Or it used to be.
So there's some like so the internal thing that pick. Shows you. I'd be okay with that, like some kind of like internal hint that's like, hey, this team has some higher MMR players than your team. So, you know, like what if the higher MMR team attacked first? Or, I mean, I guess that'll only apply for like payload and CP. But
I think the real question comes into how big is the gap going to be in MMR? Like say like the highest MMR is 5,000 and player A is at 4,900 and player B or player two is at like 2,000. Like how big's the gap going to be? Is it within 50 points? Is it within 100?
Well, they said they're pulling that, skill like, rating from internal MMR, right?
Yeah.
So. Well, I mean, how big can the difference be? Like, can I not queue with someone who's 1,000 rating higher? Or is there like average?
You can...
Like, you can only be within 50 of someone?
I mean, you can queue with, you know, obviously you can group with whoever you want and... I mean, they take a lot of variables into account, like pings and things like that, too. So, I mean, if I'm queuing with you, Jason, you're in Europe, they have to try to adjust with whatever, right, in terms of their formula. But generally, I think there's a post, actually, that was in the forums, too, that Jeff responded to. I think they try to do plus or minus 50. I don't know what 50 is necessarily in this case, but I feel like it's pretty close. You know, it's not, like, again, I don't think there's going to be a huge disparity between the skill ranking and or skill rating scores, unless you create that, you know, like you play with a completely new player and then who knows, you know, it's going to be some weird thing. But anyways, it'll be good to see. I'd rather them just start this way. And then if it gets too toxic, like Lynn was suggesting, it'll probably get, then, you know, they can change it. You may move it to the end. And then if that doesn't work, then just take it out, you know, but at least they're trying this kind of new concept. That's the one thing that frustrated me the most whenever I used to play like StarCraft 2 is that you just had this invisible MMR that, you know, just didn't know when you were actually going to get promoted. And it was the most frustrating thing ever. This is a little bit clearer, more transparent, and, you know, it's kind of cool. And Jason, that's a cool concept, like the superstar on the team too, focusing on them. That could be a pretty neat thing too. Okay, well, let's talk about rewards. We got some pictures of these golden guns, which will be awarded based on, I'm thinking the skill rating is because the...
It's based off points.
Just off points.
Added
okay.
points for okay, your, I guess, ranking at the end of the season, okay, and then that cool. used to spend on golden guns.
All right, so let me show you guys some of these golden guns here.
My question is, do the golden guns... change on every single skin that the character has?
I think that makes the most sense.
Because that's kind
of
like weird, right?
That's a lot
of
guns.
If I'm playing Valkyrie Mercy, but I've got a random golden staff that doesn't match the rest of the skin, it looks kind of like out of place.
Well, I think...
how that's going to work.
Yeah.
Also, the Lucio gun, the gold Lucio gun, looks exactly like the Ribbit gun already.
Yeah, it does look pretty similar to the Ribbit gun. It's true. I don't know. Well, I mean, we'll have to see it in action, but... I think it's more for us, more for the actual players themselves, because of the just, you know, FOV type of thing. More
that
so
right here,
than,
golden hammer looks insane.
Yeah, the golden hammer is probably
also
the best
the Pharaoh
thing.
Rockets look really cool.
The rockets that come out look gold.
No, they're just the rocket launcher. I mean.
Oh,
The Zen balls are probably the most underwhelming thing. It's like,
yeah, aren't they already basically
cool? Yeah, I thought they're pretty close.
It's not something that you really see anyways. It's just kind of like around his neck, and you know, it's kind of like a little bit in your screen, but not really.
Yeah, yeah.
It's his hands. They should have made gold because his hands are what you see.
Dude, I'd take a golden foot, man. That'd be good. But anyways, it's kind of cool. It's nice that they added something like this that, you know, at least shows people who are, it's supposedly easier for people who are super good to get them quicker. So with the points, I think it looked like it was 300 points. Wait, what does it say? This is the
current. Yeah, it was something like 300.
Yeah, it's like 300 points. Anyways, nice touch.
It's like double the value if you're playing a hero that has two weapons. Like D.Va, you get golden D.Va pistol and you get the golden mech arms.
Yeah, yeah, totally. Okay, before we start talking about format changes, so avoid this player was removed, or at least this option in the drop downs, I guess, for each of the players whenever you're I think it's at the end of the game, I believe. So Shade, you found out some interesting things, right, in terms of a pro player that we know and maybe might have been one of the reasons why this was removed.
Yeah, so it's not like 100% confirmed, but basically what's been passed around is that in one of the forum posts, Jeff Kaplan said that the reason it got removed is because a pro Widowmaker player, one of the best Widowmaker players in the world, couldn't find matches because he had so many people like click avoid this player because they didn't want to play against him. And then either in a Reddit post or stream moment or something like that, Reaver from C9 mentioned that he had to make a new account because he couldn't find games. So they apparently investigated it and found out that this like pro Widowmaker had hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people on their avoid this player list, so he just couldn't find games anymore because everyone in his MMR, like everyone within his like skill rating area, had him on avoid this player.
Right, that's pretty crazy, and I'm sure there's a lot of Widowmaker players that are a lot of really good Widowmaker players that people.
To be honest, though, I love the idea of it. Like, if there's someone being toxic in your game, I'd want to avoid playing with them. Mm-hmm. And if they get enough avoided player reports, then maybe they get banned or something. Not banned, but timed out or whatever. Like,
there should be a reason. Like, yeah, you should put a reason for avoid this player. Like, it shouldn't just be like a click and done. It should be like, okay, click avoid this player, and then there's a little pop up that says, I want to avoid this player because, and like,
you wrecked me.
Right now my avoid this player list is just all Tracer players. So, you know,
you gotta
have like an extra step to that where it's like, avoid this player because like, oh, they were really toxic, or avoid this player because, they didn't have just team whatever. Participation.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I think that option for that, or like maybe if you report somebody, then you automatically start avoiding them. Or something like that. That would probably be good.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't think that's how you're supposed to use it. But just banning all the Tracer players.
Well, my hope was that if I encourage people to avoid Tracer players, then eventually all the Tracer players would get stuck in games together and only be able to play 6v6 Tracer games and realize the hell that I have to go through.
That's just that King of the Hill. Yeah, that's pretty much
King of the Hill with no zero limit. Yeah.
So avoid this player. I mean, some form of it, I think, would be nice to be. It'd be nice if it was very clear that it was just for your preference versus more of a banning type of, you know, reporting mechanism. And I think it's a little bit, you know, unclear as to what that function is being used for. And people, a lot of people are using it differently. So we'll see. We'll see if it ends up coming back at some point. Okay, let's talk about the different changes to the format. And again, guys, this is all this stuff is out on the PTR.
Move that later. We should probably move that to after the to the esports part.
Okay, you want to talk about esports first? Okay, we can do that. That's
poor Ben.
I mean, I don't know. It fits here.
Of the day.
Well, we're talking about the new.
All right, let's do it.
Yeah.
Competitive mode. So.
Yeah, let's just talk about. So again, the maps are out on PTR. You can go try it. I tried out two maps before the show, and unfortunately, they were both King of the Hill maps, which you know, the single point objective maps, which are pretty much the same as they used to be. Jeff mentioned that like a lot of the sudden death maps, the statistics were they were going into sudden death 35% of the time, which was, well, that was pretty interesting. I mean, I actually thought it was higher actually than 35%, but that was definitely an interesting stat, and you know, was one of the reasons why they decided to change it. But yeah, go ahead.
King of the Hill was best of five, right?
Yes.
Yes, it was. That's true.
That's it was the way it was during the PAX tournament. That's right. They had like a pseudo tournament realm, whatever, where it was. Yeah. Okay. Just checking. Sorry. Continue.
Yeah. 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 But they did make some major changes to the assault maps, which were, you know, the double objective maps, and as well as a change to the payload one, but a major change to the assault ones. Okay, so I don't think any of us have actually gotten a chance to play the maps, but we have gotten an explanation of the maps. And Ben, do you want to talk about it, or Jason, you want to explain it? Ben, why don't you talk? We haven't gotten a chance to hear from you that
sure,
much yet.
Sure, sure. Yeah. So the long story short is there's a public test realm going out today. I think it just went out a couple of hours ago.
Yeah.
I've been in meetings all day. I haven't even had a chance to play. Mm-hmm. That addresses, it adds some of the golden gun things that we're just talking about. It also implements potentially new ways of scoring both payload maps and capture point maps. Mm-hmm. And I think capture point is like the really... it's a big departure, actually, from any scoring method we've used in the past. It's mm-hmm. it's interesting. It's kind of complicated at first to wrap your head around, but I think we got it now. And basically, the general gist of it is everyone's complaint with capture point maps is it can all be decided by a single fight early on in the game. A single team fight for attack going their way can snowball into completing the whole map in a matter of minutes. So the new scoring system means that if Team A attacks first and they are able to cap out, let's say, Volskaya in 2.5 minutes, that means that they then have seven. You switch sides and mm-hmm. let the other team attack, but the team that set the time of 2.5 minutes then has 7.5 more minutes to play through the map again and see how far they can get again. So basically, you no matter what, you have 10 minutes to capture the map. Capture as many points as many times as you can.
Yeah.
And that's how it's going to be the score is defined at the end. So in theory, it mitigates this issue of a single fight defining the entire map score, because you're going to have potentially a bunch more opportunities to attack and defend. But I probably got some aspects wrong, but does that sound right, guys?
I think that sounds right.
Yeah. The only thing I'd add to it, it's like, to help clarify, it's based off points. So each checkpoint you capture is a point. Mm-hmm. So if you're tied at points at the end of the round, if you both only capture one, then it goes into the next half with the difference in time.
Like it's in your best interest to take longer?
No, because it's your own time. So if your teammate finishes in a minute, yeah. then mm-hmm. you have 9 minutes into your next half when you push again.
Yeah.
So you want to finish
think
as quick
it,
as you can.
Just think of it like this. You have 10 minutes total, like, you know, just to finish however many points you can get. And if you just do it in the first round, then that's your 10 minutes. But if it takes you like 5 rounds to get it, then you're getting a ton of points, or you're probably winning. You're probably going to win this thing. So that's the simplified
version.
So
confusing.
A simple version of it. Yeah.
Obviously, I guess, like, if Team A caps in however much time and Team B doesn't cap at all, I guess Team A just wins right off the bat there.
He just wins.
So it's still only a contingency for... if both teams complete and you're still tied at the end of the map,
and then it sounds like, at least, I don't know about the first rounds, but maybe the you know, extra rounds, maybe the time counts down, like it actually counts backwards possibly, which,
so
that would be cool.
From my understanding, it's like you have like two sides and then it's like mm-hmm. 10 minutes and it starts counting down. And once you finish, it stops. And then the other team goes, so they're on the other side. It counts up for 10 minutes. Once they finish, it stops.
Okay,
then the other team goes again, and then it continues the time that it's at down.
Okay, so it always goes to backwards. Okay, that's cool.
So you always have that time, I think.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, that's interesting.
Honestly, I like to see it. Like, I like capture point maps. I kind of wish it was changed a different way where there is maybe 3 or 4 points, but I love that they're trying to make it more even and more balanced in general, where, like, the better team will always win on it. I mean, it's a new change. I mean, I want to play it before I judge it too harshly.
Yeah, we should always be open to change. It's something we've been pushing since day one on this show. It's like we should just try a lot of things, see what sticks, what doesn't. I'm totally open to trying it. And right now, no one is playing capture point maps. So we definitely need to do something to see if these maps are more viable in competitive play. And you can try this right now if you download the PTR public test room client. I think there's links on the subreddit and all that stuff. Should be pretty interesting.
Let's talk about the payload change. So instead of like the sudden death like we were seeing before, which would go to a King of the Hill type of map, it's going to be replayed apparently on the same map that it was, or it's definitely not a King of the Hill map. But there is a change to how sudden death's going to be working.
Yeah.
I thought it's not going to a random map now.
Yeah, it just doesn't go to a random map. Is that the only difference, basically?
No.
Okay.
So the biggest difference between the old and the new is that in the new, if you tie, then the winning team gets to choose the side of a coin flip, whoever wins the coin flip has 2 minutes to capture 1 point.
Right. That's exciting. That's pretty cool.
Like on Gibraltar, the first point, 2 minutes, like it completely fucks you as defense. Because you typically give out that first point if you're playing Gibraltar. But like on Dorado, you could have a really tough time. So I'm curious to see if it's based off of the first point of each map, or is it a random point on the map that you have to finish?
That's a good point.
I'm
guessing it's the first point.
In case of like Dorado, as you mentioned, it would just you could also judge it by just how far the payload has moved, right?
No, because only one team attacks. If you successfully attack in that team,
you either win or lose.
If you don't, you lose.
Yeah.
Oh.
So you would typically want to defend, as far as I know.
Okay.
Because 2 minutes is a really hard time sometimes. That's like a really rough time, I think.
2 minutes is a very good time, actually.
I feel like they need to make it so like both teams attack on that for one checkpoint, and the biggest one who finishes wins. Because
that doesn't seem fair at all. I mean, that seems less fair than a control point map or a King of the Hill map where each team is equally on equal footing. Huh.
That's assuming that offense and defense are 50% winning. You know, right? If the maps are balanced, at least the first objective too is balanced, right? I don't think they'll start at a different objective. I mean, I don't think they'll start like have the payload start somewhere like from objective one to two or something. I think it's always going to be the first one, because how would you start the round? Like you know, it's an issue of spawn too.
The problem is, it's like Gibraltar. No one defends that first point unless it's like a team that's really confident, and then now they're you get to hold them for 2 minutes. I mean, you have to get used to it, but that's not the way it's currently played out. And then if the point is random, it's like, what if it was 2-3? The hangar phase, 2 minutes in the hangar phase, that's really rough, because you depend on the momentum of going from 1-2 to go to 2-3. So I don't know exactly how it's going to work. I got to play it, but maybe it's a set point on every map. Like, it's always Dorado 1-2, or it's always Gibraltar 2-3, or it's
they just choose
always
the one
King's
that's the
Row
best. Yeah.
2-final. Or maybe it's set. But I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that'd be much better if they just chose it. But then they'd have to figure out how to spawn fairly too. Like, do you? I guess would you? I mean, you'd spawn. Somebody's gonna be spawning closer, right?
I think the spawn points of that part of the map.
Okay, I guess.
But
that's
then, like
enough,
2 minutes. Like, how do you build ultimate in 2 minutes?
Yeah,
Mercy can. It's easy for Mercy.
Let's keep an open mind about all of this.
Well, we'll have a week to try it out.
I'm looking forward to trying it out. Yeah. But from my perspective, it's like this seems like really complicated. Both of these seem really complicated to me. And the fact that payload and capture point are now scored completely differently. Now we have three game types that are all scored in entirely different ways. So to me, this sounds like I know Blizzard really wants to make the rule set as digestible as it can be to the mainstream audience, and I'm not sure if this is the thing that does that. So at least we're trying new things, and we will continue to try new things probably for a while. If I had to guess,
well, it's Call of Duty, right? Like Call of Duty World League has like three or four different game modes, like Hardpoint, Search and Destroy. Capture the flag, and then like a basket.
Those are all like point based, right? This is I don't know.
Well, these are point based though, because even in payload, you get points for checkpoints captured. So it's still technically point based, but there's the whole overtime mechanic to it, which is the confusing part, I guess.
Yeah. Okay, well, anyways, we'll try it out. I think all of us will get a chance to try this out, whether it's PTR or if it comes out in the next week. It'll probably come out next week, given that they said late June. So we'll have more to say about next week.
Well, they never said it would be long live servers in late.
Yeah, but I mean, maybe I think assumed.
They were talking about by late June, and maybe they just want to test it on PTR for a while, change some stuff up.
Think so? I figured, I don't know, maybe unless there's some major complaints, maybe they hold it off. But I was thinking live servers, like late June, and that would
I mean, I wasn't expecting a PTR, so.
Yeah, we'll have to see.
Yeah, I mean, frankly, we should just say awesome that there is a PTR. Yeah,
exactly, right?
Yeah. We did not expect this. Like, I didn't know this was coming at all until this morning when it happened.
Okay.
I looked at my phone, saw the tweet from Overwatch, and went, holy shit.
Exactly.
Do you still have them on a...
Yeah, I get all the play Overwatch shit sent to my phone.
Really? Wait, what do you mean?
You can set it so that tweets from play Overwatch that aren't like direct tweets to other people are sent to your phone as like a notification.
Oh, nice.
I do that. So when they tweet out patch notes and stuff like that, it gets sent to my phone so I see your...
I have that throughout the entire beta phase.
Oh, I need to do that.
The game came out, I'm like, hey. Yeah.
Is that a Twitter function?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. I need to try that. That sounds great.
Because that announcement about the PTR wasn't on Reddit yet when the tweet got sent out, so I saw it and I was like, hey.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right, well, enough competitive mode talk. Let's talk a little bit about just general news. And almost a day after our last episode, Overwatch, or somebody tweeted out that Overwatch overtook League of Legends in the Korean PC bongs, which is crazy to think about. Fishix, what do you think about this? I mean, we've seen how these, just how PC bongs have pretty much indicated how esports plays out in Korea. So this just means a lot in terms of esports, in my opinion.
Look, I am more optimistic than most people. I've tried to push a lot of games before Overwatch, and everyone always naysayed me. And even with Overwatch, I've heard so much naysaying from people I respect in the industry. Yeah. I've heard it from longtime FPS broadcasters, commentators, players. Oh, Overwatch never go. Dude, this is exceeding my highest expectation already. The fact that Overwatch is number one in Korean PC bongs is actually incredible. I mean, I knew this game was going to be huge. I knew it was going to be one of the biggest games, but I didn't think it was going to be the game that dethroned League of Legends. I mean, it's way too early to say that officially, obviously, but in Korea, it has already eclipsed League of Legends. And you could, in the PC bongs, and you could argue that, hey, that's because, it's not a free-to-play game. They can just go to the PC bongs, play. The hype, it just came out. And who knows, maybe League of Legends will gain back its market share over time. But the fact that it's even coming close to being on par with League of Legends is totally insane and bodes so incredibly well for the future of this game as an esport. I never would have expected to see it grow just this quickly. So this is one of the most amazing indicators of its growth that I've seen so far.
Jason, what do you think?
Can he come back to me?
Come back to you.
Okay. He always does this.
Go ahead, Shade. You got this.
I mean, I think it would be nice to see if this is still the case in like a month or two. It is cool to see it happening like a month after release and not just like the first few weeks of release, because that would tell me like, hey, this is a hype thing and like people are just really excited to play this game and it's not free to play, like Ben said, so they do have to go to PC Bond to play it unless they want to buy it and like stuff like that. So I think it's really cool that it is a month after release. It's not just like that first few days of that first few weeks. I would like to see if this continues to be the case for the next few months. But it's super exciting nonetheless.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, the percentages that we see, we're not just seeing like, it's gone from 5% to 10%. 10% is, just the number one mark. No, when we saw League of Legends, we're talking like you know, a 30%, you know, just, I don't know exactly what the discrepancy was, but it was a huge, huge discrepancy between the first and second game. And with Overwatch coming in and literally taking like a large chunk of the market share right off the bat, that is absolutely amazing. Jason, you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay, let's go.
Okay.
Don't hurt yourself.
No, because like, I don't want to be too harsh. It's awesome to see that, yeah, Overwatch is more played than League of Legends in Korea at PC Bangs. The only concern I have, because I will always look at this game in a competitive aspect, is how well does that translate to esports? I want to see, you know, still a ton of people trying to play and push for esports and actually compete in these tournaments and try to create a competitive background. But at the same time, like, I don't want to sound too harsh. It's still amazing that a game was able to overtake League of Legends after it's been reigning supreme for so long. But also, you have to keep in mind, League of Legends is seen more as a competitive game than more of a free-to-play, have-fun game. At least in my eyes, it is. Where Overwatch is seen as more of like a fun, free to, like, play the game to enjoy it, not like competitive sense. I mean, it's early, so it's hard to kind of judge it in that kind of way. But I hope it does translate to competitive. Where
I mean, I think we've already seen that.
At that level. I'm not
look
sure.
At how many teams you see signed up for the GOSU weeklies or even like the ESL cups that are running. Like, there's a ridiculous amount of teams that get signed up for that. It was like the Onog Open that happened a couple Fridays ago. There's like 128 teams just for one of the days. I don't know what the other days were, but I do remember someone from Onog specifically saying 128 teams for just one of the Fridays. And then wasn't there like close to 400 or something for one of the ESL?
360.
My God.
368 teams like, played
and
in the first.
Like, the GOSU weeklies are always filled with registered teams and a ton of like backup fill teams, plus teams that sent out invites that not all of them got accepted. Like, I think we're already seeing stuff like that happen, where the correlation between people loving the game and wanting to play it is happening between that and esports. And especially in like the Asian regions where these PC bongs are experiencing the growth in Overwatch over League of Legends, like, there is a lot of teams forming in those regions. Like, for instance, I talked to someone in Poro a lot, who, if you were part of closed beta, you know that he was probably one of the highest like level people in the entire game. He was like level 500 or something insane. And he plays in tournaments in his region all the time. So there's definitely teams that exist there that show kind of like there's a ton of people interested in esports Overwatch.
I mean,
I just want to make sure that the teams that are signed up now, like 368 teams, it stays like that consistently. Because it wasn't Heroes of the Storm, there were a ton of teams playing in these tournaments at first, and then after a little bit of time, they kind of died out. I just want to make sure that there's still a healthy competitive seat for the game, you know, from now, you know, even a year from now, kind of thing.
I actually recall a Heroes tournament that was, it had some huge prize pool. It was like 100K or something like that.
Yeah, the first one
that only got like 90 teams signed up or something like that. I could be making the
no. It was not very. There were not that many teams. So
yeah.
Heroes of Storm never saw anything like this. In terms of the team signing up for the tournaments, and not to mention, you know, PC Bong, that's just crazy.
I think one way to facilitate having a lot of these people who are interested in competitive play is through the competitive mode in the game and trying to keep that as close to something you would see at a tournament like in Counter-Strike. If you play in pubs or like 1.6, way back in the day, you play in like a random server you join, it's like 32v32 or whatever at the time. So, or 32 people, 16 versus 16. So you would be like, oh, I'm playing this. But you look at the competitive mode of 1.6, nothing even close to that. Now in CSGO, it's more like that, where the matchmaking in competitive CS is relatively close to the tournament mode, especially with the way the majors were done originally. Like, bomb time was 35 seconds, or I think it was 35. But in matchmaking in CSGO, it was 45. And then they actually changed it. So in matchmaking, CSGO was 40. I think it was, and they made the bomb timer 40 seconds in the actual tournaments. So making sure that these two kind of coincide together and help feed into like the big tournaments, I think, is a very important thing to the longevity of the game in general.
Speaking of tournaments.
Okay. is it tournaments? Okay. I guess let's talk about events. Let's talk about esports events that we had this past weekend. Of course, we have Ghosted Gamers with their NA and EU. Just not as many teams signed up this weekend compared to just the previous ones. But why don't we start out with the... Well, we'll start with the EU one, just I have it listed as EU first. Had a huge upset in EU in the finals. Again, not all the top European teams played, but Reunited played, Creation played, Graviton Surge played, and Graviton Surge upset Reunited 3-1 in the finals, which is a huge win for Graviton Surge. Ben, what do you think?
It's absolutely massive. Reunited, I mean, they've been playing since literally like the very, very first tournaments. Like they've stuck together. They've had a really consistent roster for so long now. And they've been consistently a top two, top three team in Europe since day one. To see Graviton Surge come out of relative obscurity, I mean, if you're an insider to the scene, you definitely know the names on that team. But to see them come basically out of nowhere and beat Reunited in the finals was a big deal. I think honestly what it comes down to is Reunited is that practice team. They do have that experience in a previous meta. So right. We just had big changes to both Widowmaker and McCree, which Reunited does play a ton of. You know, Valutaja does just stick with that McCree like all the time. Mm-hmm. So they had to change things up, and we didn't see them play a whole lot of McCree. Mm-hmm. And whether for good or for bad, I mean, they just didn't play McCree, and they actually got kind of stomped in the end. I mean, 3-1, the games were not all entirely one-sided, but the fact that Graviton Surge came out of nowhere, beat Reunited, is a huge deal. And I do think it, though, ultimately, it does have a lot to do with the shifts in meta, the balance changes that we've just recently seen, the one hero limit, all of these things kind of going against Reunited in the end.
I also know I'd like to see them like this upcoming week too, because I know Too Easy had to hand in his thesis tomorrow. So I think there's potentially some cut in on practice time, maybe this week.
Huge cut in on practice time.
So yeah. I would like to see maybe like after they, you know, get back into their regular scrimming schedule and get to spend more time like they used to do in the game. Maybe if that impacts their play at all, because I think that they probably took a little bit of time away from that for real life situations.
I will give it to Graviton though. Like, they've actually shown that they can do some decent results. I mean, yeah, I don't want to give them, like, the full win. Like, I'll have a little asterisk next to the name in my head because Too Easy has been doing his thesis. But Kratos being taken out and Zaffy, I think his name? Let me just confer. Zapre coming in. And Zebesai, who originally was playing DPS for them, stepped down as support, like Lucio. It's interesting to see that Zebesai was okay with doing that because he actually did decent well at the TakeTV tournament. But to sit back in more of a support role, and let Zapri take over the position of damage. So Kratos is gone, and Kratos is actually in his own team now, who played in the last Go for Overwatch weekly, and they actually got really damn far. I think they were one of the top four teams.
All right. I mean, yeah, I think it's going to be cool to see what happens in both the ODNAC tournament and what happens.
Team Hybrid. Yeah, they got in the finals against Graviton Surge. They were against Graviton Surge, and they lost like 3-1 or something.
Yeah, Graviton Surge beat Creation too. This Ghosted Gamers tournament too. So it wasn't just Reunited. They looked solid for sure in this current meta. Definitely looked really strong.
How Shade pointed out the meta change. Sorry, last thing. Because that's 100% true. Like Reunited, even in Battlefield 4, where they're known as Fnatic, had the hardest time ever adapting to changes. Like they just, for some reason, have a mental block when it comes to, oh, something was changed. We need to adapt to what we play. They're super slow at it. And the fact that they haven't practiced, like Shade's been saying, since the meta change kind of shows that, maybe they're not at the peak performance that we would have expected.
Well, and you kind of like have to think too, we didn't see Envious this weekend either, but it makes me think of people like Taimu as well. Like, he is a McCree Widow player. Mm-hmm. So he has tons of skill beyond that. He's an amazing player, obviously.
And Reaper
so,
this weekend, yeah.
Yeah, I hope that he puts a ton of time into other characters as well, now that those, the damage output from Widow and McCree has changed a lot. But it'd be nice to see this weekend. I'm really excited to see how Envy plays with the changes to Widow and McCree in particular. But yeah, I think they have had a lot more practice time than Reunited has over the last week, so that might also help them too. As far as like the GG Weekly obviously is concerned, I didn't see.
Yeah. Go ahead, Ben.
I was just going to say, another thing to keep in mind is not to make excuses for United or take anything away from Graviton Surge, but $500 tournaments, not that big a deal anymore. This used to be all we had, but this weekend we are going to have $40,000 in pricing given away across two tournaments. So all of a sudden, an online-only $500 cup, it might be a place where you try new things. Like Reunited, maybe they will end up continuing to play tons of McCree and tons of Widowmaker, and maybe everyone will, but they weren't. Maybe they're just trying new things this weekend. So,
yeah.
True.
I mean, that was across the board, like just less Widow and McCree, and we'll talk about that, I guess, after we finish some of these other events. The NA tournament, I know you watched a lot of that, Shane, right? LG ended up winning it, beating Soda Pop Poppy, was it? It was...
something like that.
Yeah, it was a Soda Poppy team.
I thought it was a typo when
I know,
you
I was
put
like,
it in there. I was
exactly.
Like, Soda Poppin'?
I was like, this energy?
Northern Gaming?
Yeah, is this, what is this? I know, me too, right? But no, that's a big, you know, it's a nice win for LG.
Distinct lack of NA teams that we're familiar with, but I'm still really proud of them.
Hey, better to win it than not, right? I think it would have been worse implications if they didn't win it, but they played well. I mean, definitely the games I watched were quite solid from the team. Good stuff. Anything you noticed?
See Spice.
What is that?
Got to see Spice.
Yep,
I mean,
Spice,
you had to notice
Tanago
McCree, but I got to see how they fare up against a team like Luminosity, and they didn't do well. Let's just say that.
That's true. How's the?
There's actually a whole bunch of interesting things that were happening in the bracket here. First of all, it was the first time we saw Splice and Selfless playing. So if you're following the scene tangentially, maybe you didn't hear.
No, Splice has played before, just under a different name.
Yeah. Sorry, yeah. Under their new sponsors. So if you're tuning in and you're wondering what the hell I'm talking about, there were two new teams picked up by mainstream, semi-mainstream esports sponsors in the last week or two. And that would be the team of old TF2, salty TF2 tryhards. I'm just going to dub them that. In Splice, you've got guys like Flame and Clockwork in that team. And then Selfless is actually a team that I personally have a relationship with because a bunch of these guys have played a lot of the Enemy Territory, RTCW, Quake Wars, Dirty Bomb, and Brink in the past. So this Selfless GG team, you may laugh, but this Selfless GG team is a couple of them come from the QuakeCon 2012 Brink Championship team.
Oh, okay.
At least two of them, I think, do. Emong and Michael 3D. So I'm excited to see how this team plays. They got pretty much beaten pretty decidedly by Splice, but I was glad to see them get picked up. And it's interesting to see them play in this tournament. The other thing to call out is that we had a Chinese team make it very deep in the bracket. So that was really interesting. There's a team called One Sun that ended up losing, I think, to
Soda Poppy.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, Chinese team made it really deep into the bracket, into the semifinals, pushing it to 2-1. So still Asia seems to be a little bit farther behind than you might expect in the scene right now, but good to see them participating and playing. We'd never seen this team play before, as far as I know.
We had veteran play in the Onoc tournament. They actually weren't terrible. I'm trying to remember who they went
up
against.
That was a last-minute add, too, wasn't it?
They went up against the Team Liquid. That was the game we casted for. Yeah. They weren't terrible. They actually had good mechanics in general of like synergy. Problem was that the ping they were playing on, and when it came to just aim battles, they were really struggling on. But like, they did a really good job of sitting behind a Reinhardt shield. The problem also came when, the Reinhardt shield was down. They didn't know what to do. But there was some good signs, at least. There was some good hope. Like, they actually pushed Team Liquid to almost a loss on Hollywood in that first map they played.
All right, maybe a trend. We'll probably be seeing more of them.
I think it was definitely weird that we didn't see... We haven't seen C9 in, like, 2 weeks. And...
Is it 2 weeks,
though? We saw Envious in Onog, but we didn't see them in Gosu.
Is it because they really want no hero limit, and because Ghost of Gamers is using hero limit?
I think it's more to do with the fact that they were at an event or something.
Yeah, they were at E3.
They were at E3.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, they were at
E3. Oh, yeah, they were at E3.
I played with Shreforth the other day. It's kind of fun.
They haven't scrimmed, I guess, in like a week or something, so...
And again, there's $40,000 in prize money going to be given away in tournaments this weekend. So why show your strats in the Ghost of Gamers Weekly when you can hold them, hold your cards to your chest?
Speaking of tournaments here, them. Fishsticks, I noticed.
What a segue, Jason. What a segue.
I noticed on the OG Invitational on Liquipedia, they have FaZe Clan there.
Yeah, I noticed that.
FaZe up.
FaZe. Oh, wow.
But on the website, there's no FaZe Clan.
I'm pretty sure it's Mendo's team.
Huh.
Which is?
Who else is on it?
Mendo, Casual Jody, Nameless?
Shut your mouth.
Shut your mouth.
Well, okay, Nameless.
They haven't publicly said anything, so I don't think anybody should say.
I'm just sending out my opinion. I don't know for sure. I'm just saying Nameless tweeted out and said something like, soon TM. And then, like,
yeah, that was like
FaZe...
a week or two ago.
No, what's it?
No, he did tweet like 2 weeks ago after Take TV that he's like he's joining a new team, new information will be out like the next day, and he never
he
actually tweeted up in there.
Recently, he's like soon TM or something. Maybe it got deleted. I don't know, but that happened, and I've heard from people on that team that they are getting signed because one of them is dropping into school. So,
whoa.
Okay, cool. I mean,
I'm just
going to
say
that is
new.
Quickly.
Yeah, it's I know who the roster is because I talked to him at Take TV, but I'm not gonna say who it is because it's not my position to say it. But it'll definitely be an interesting team.
I don't
team.
Think there's a problem with saying what the roster is if they're like.
I'm not gonna say.
Interesting
I'm
or
not
good?
Ruin my relationship.
Interesting or
interesting
good?
Interesting and okay. good. Okay. I feel like okay. it could be.
All right, that's good. Now, excited to hear about.
But
it.
But I don't
sure.
want to say who it is because. Yeah. I want to maintain my relationship with the players. And if I tell them stuff, I don't want them to repeat it. If they tell me stuff, I won't repeat it. But it's an interesting team, like, hands down. If any of you guys are old school esport enthusiasts, you'll recognize quite a few of the names.
Oh, all right.
Oh, like
awesome.
Fraud?
Gosh. Okay, moving on. So the Onog tournament, Onog breakout, Fishsticks did mention there's 40,000 up for grabs this weekend, and the Onog tournament is 15K of that. We had the second group play this past weekend, and Envious won this. I mean, all the matches I watched, Envious won this group pretty easily. I don't think any of the matches they had were even close. And who was in this? NRG was in this. Who else were in these brackets? Let me pull it up real quick and show you guys.
Dude, I'm pretty sad because the first Onog tournament was basically like my baby that Onog helped me with. But this one, I have been so hands off because I've just been so freaking busy this month that I haven't been able to really watch or follow it. It sucks.
Oh, sorry. I think I said NRG. NGR, geez. It looks like Gale Force and Reunited also were in this group. You guys watched these matches? I mean, there's nothing really that special to really point out except for Envy just dominating, which didn't really surprise me that much.
Well, I mean, I guess there's a three-way tie in Group B right now. So Gale Force, Reunited, and NG Red are all tied, which is kind of a shocker to me that Reunited is 2-2 against those teams. So I would certainly expect to see Reunited advance out of the bracket. But there is currently a three-way tie in Group B, and I'm going to post the Liquipedia link for you guys in chat.
There's games happening tonight for this three-way tie, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah, so the tiebreaker needs to be done just because the top two teams from the groups go into the winner's bracket, and then the bottom two teams the third and the fourth teams in the groups go into the loser's bracket. And then,
can anyone say why Harbu left Gale Force and then rejoined? Is there any other confirmation
on
that? Or public confirmation?
Hmm.
I don't think he left necessarily the first time, but maybe they weren't comfortable with anybody else after tryouts?
Well, I know even Liquid still don't have their final two people. Like,
yeah,
it's
sad.
Crunch time
Gosh.
For them. Like, you got the $100,000 tournament coming up. You need to like solidify that roster.
Oh, after having such a good run too at the Agents Rising, we haven't seen them for the most part. This is crazy. Yeah, but this tournament, pretty psyched about it. Again, the tiebreaker will be tonight. We're going to see some awesome games. Cloud9, I'm just, you know, I guess what matchup are you guys excited to see just in this tournament?
Kind of all of them. I like midweek tournament stuff. This is pretty exciting. You don't have to wait till the weekend to see competitive matches. It's nice.
True, true. Ben, any specific teams you want to see go against each other for 15K?
I it's got to be Envy, Cloud9.
Yeah.
What else is there?
Right?
I mean, Rogue.
I have a little child for Rogue and Envy, but I don't know if that'll happen. Rogue Envy, to me, is just like so funny to see Civic against his whole team.
Half the teams against
him. But then again, Cloud9 and Envy are probably the best two teams in the world at the same time, so it'd be epic to see that.
Yeah,
I would. Exactly. Yeah, I can't wait. Like, we actually have we even seen Cloud9 play Envious in the last? Wait, we did, right?
Funny enough,
I don't even remember.
Cloud9 and Envious have never been in a tournament together yet.
Yeah, exactly. They've been avoiding each other.
Okay.
They've been avoiding each other for a while now.
That's gonna be a good one.
Mm-hmm, definitely. Okay, let's talk a little bit about against the meta. Just what metas that we saw in generally all these events. Put a couple bullets down, which was we saw very, very little Widow and McCree. I mean, people would break them out just as like a surprise move, maybe midway through a payload map or something like that. You know, just the I don't know, the time moves or the you know, just any of the your typical snipers would pull it out just for just a few minutes kind of thing and then go back. But mostly we saw the Reapers, we saw the Soldiers, Pharahs, and that sort of thing on most of the maps. Anything you guys notice? Outside of just that,
we're already starting to see more Reaper seep into the game. I don't know if it's because people knew the McCree nerf was coming or what. So not a huge surprise to see Reaper getting quite a bit more picks this weekend. But one thing that stood out to me was that Soldier kind of replaced McCree for a lot of teams, like almost immediately. People who were playing McCree just started playing Soldier instead. And I would say both Soldier and Reaper were kind of on the less played side, very situational picks, but they've basically just taken market share, I guess, from McCree for the time being. Again, people are just trying new things because there's a patch, whatever. I'm sure we'll see it settle out.
As far as the Reaper picks are concerned, I think it's pretty self-explanatory that without Reaper, like Winston is just going to rain hell on literally everyone. Mm-hmm. I don't think there's, without McCree and the damage that he was outputting and his ability to control Winston during ult with flashbang and right click and everything like that, I think Winston would pretty much just be unstoppable without the help of a Reaper. So I think that makes a lot of sense that we see a lot more of him.
Mm-hmm.
I like that we're still seeing a lot of Zarya. That's awesome.
Oh, yeah. Lots of Gravidon surges with barrages. That combo is just happening
all
the time.
Pretty much almost become like a standard thing, and a lot of team comps is seeing Zarya with another tank. So,
Jason, notice any interesting things?
I'm just mostly annoyed at the team's unwillingness to experiment with like Reaper before, like the McCree nerfs. Like, whenever I would see people would complain about two Winstons and no hero games. And I would just think to myself, well, why don't you have a Reaper just sit back on your supports?
Right.
And if a Winston jumps in there, he's gonna have to guess or second guess if he wants to jump in the back line or not. And the way McCree was used was like speed him up, flashbang the Reinhardt and kill him or something like that, or leave him in the back lines, flashbang the Winston, allow your support to get away and kill him. I feel like Reaper could have facilitated the same kind of role, except his ultimate isn't as good as zoning as a McCree's, but I mean, I think Fishers can shade basically said everything else. Like, Reaper in, Soldier back in, McCree kind of having a tough time. Yeah. Widow having a little bit of a tough time.
I can kind of understand what you mean by that, like sticking Reaper kind of with your support for protection. Mm. But at the same time, I think that McCree was just a better version of that at the time because he could output damage at a longer range, but he could also protect the support with Flashbang as well if need be.
And a guaranteed
Reaper,
kill.
Yep. Yeah, Reaper doesn't have that long-range damage because of his fall-off from shotguns.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, why pick kind of like the lesser of the two? Whereas if you had a Reaper on your team, they should be the ones going back to the enemy's backline with teleport and Wraith form and everything like that to handle the enemy supports or the enemy tanks. So I think it kind of makes sense that we didn't really see that as like a Reaper protection squad for the support because at the time, McCree just did a better job.
It's just like, it seems like I don't know, you'd have more experience because you get to see Luminosity play a lot more. It seems like teams are just more like, oh, this is what's in style, or what's in fashion right now, so we'll play it too, and just try to outplay you with the same comp you're using against us instead of adapting to like what a team's using against you at the time.
As far as Luminosity is concerned anyways, I think we actually see the opposite of that a lot. Like, we run Roadhog a shit ton where other teams pretty much never do. And it's like a very rare situation. And a lot of that has to do with, I think, the fact that Roadhog gets super wrecked by things like Zenyatta, which even after the Widow and Macrina still aren't really seeing a lot of play. Mm-mm. But yeah, like, I think that's the opposite of that for at least Luminosity, playing things that are kind of outside of what every other team is playing.
How much do you think just not playing Widow, not playing McCree is overreaction right now? Ben?
I think it's got to be a lot. I mean, I'm actually not the right person to ask because I don't play either McCree or Widow. Right. There's like two out of the six characters I don't play in the game, so I can't really comment too well on how badly they've been hurt. But I certainly suspect that they'll be brought back into the meta, if not by just how the teams decide to play them, but it'll be by counterbalancing. If they've been nerfed too much, I'm sure they'll be counter-nerfed eventually.
Yeah, I can't comment on either because I've been cute spray hunting for the past 2 weeks. So, yeah. Cute like five left hunting. To go, almost done.
So it's taking you 2 weeks to get one cute spray?
No. I have all of them but five.
All of them but five? So, wow, that's good, man.
Yeah.
I think I only have like.
It kind of comes down to, hey, Diva, throw your ult exactly. next to it. Exactly. Let me get my Lucio ult down to it so I can get my spray. Yeah, it's. But no, I think just in competitive scene alone, like I saw Taimu playing him after the nerf, and he was. Well, he's Taimu. You can flashbang you, left click headshot you, and still kill you.
Yeah.
That's not necessarily true. I was damage boosting Seagull's McCree as Mercy, and his right click. Didn't kill a Reinhardt.
Yeah, I think we talked about this, right?
Praise Jesus.
Which is crazy.
So,
yeah, but we did see Taimu though. No, he was still wrecking.
The nerf is still very effective.
It is. Some people are still good at headshotting though, and Taimu is one of those guys. Like, he still broke it out on, I think it was Li Zhong Tower a couple times, and still just again like mid round. I don't think he ever started with it. But that's the thing. That's the great thing about, you know, teams like Envious. I feel like they have very versatile players. You know, Hulk will play all kinds of things. You know, Taimu was able to play some Reaper too. I mean, I saw him play all kinds of characters this week. And maybe they're just trying stuff out because they're just that good. But generally, you know,
I think that's a big difference too between the current state of Envious versus the current state of Reunited after the McCree changes. Like, we saw Valuetaja really struggle because he's a big McCree player. Like, he literally has only ever played McCree, I think, for the entire time that we've seen him play throughout closed beta, open beta, and game release. Whereas, you know, Taimu kind of has other things to fall back on and other things that he's been working on and not just trying to stick and make the McCree work.
Yeah. Helps keep a team together, too, through meta changes when you can adapt really well. Okay, so let's talk about, I guess, specifically about the tournaments to watch. We mentioned the Onog finale will be this weekend. What day is it on, actually? I think these are different times, right? These two tournaments. This one...
26th of June?
Yeah, it looks like the 26th.
They better be at different times because we're playing in both of them.
Yeah, so
Onog they're off.
Sunday, yeah. Looks like the Onog one is on Sunday. No, actually, the OG Invitational is on Sunday, and the Onog one is... Gotta be Saturday,
Sunday.
Right? It's Sunday too.
They both say 26.
They're Friday, Saturday, Sunday my gosh. At 5 p.m. PST for Onog. I'm not sure.
Yeah. And OG is just earlier in the day on Saturday and Sunday.
Yeah.
So tons of Overwatch full to days. Watch this weekend.
Exactly. Full days of Overwatch.
Time to make a ton of chili, put it in the fridge, and warm it up afterwards.
Poor ZP, man. ZP's voice after these weekends, like, oh my good God.
He's going to be casting both. Oh, yeah, he is casting both of them. Holy shit.
He casts. Everything. He's like cast like 14 hours everything. A day every Saturday and Sunday. It's crazy.
It is crazy, man. He's a fucking machine. It's great. It's awesome. Definitely awesome.
I'm glad they have Owen on. It's really exciting.
Who
to see him cast more?
Oh, one amongst many. Yeah, and that's going to be for
definitely like his analysis. Yeah,
It's got the action,
too. I'm just looking through the Josh OG tournament right now, and it looks like Kevin Naki is going to be commentating.
Yeah, I saw that. That's going to be pretty cool.
I also just noticed something else. I was hovering over the Northern Gaming Red team, and I see Stoop is playing for them. Did something happen to Nubris?
I thought Nubris
was...
Yeah, three people left of Nubris.
Nubris broke up like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, they broke
Dude,
up.
Dude, I've been at E3. What?
I thought they were going to still try to get something together, right? We talked about this last week.
Cool Matt, Stoop, Kusta, IDDQD. Shit.
IDDQD?
Yeah.
He's joined up with them? Whoa, crazy.
Oh, I can't remember the last two.
Huh.
Wait, Nubris are they still around, or are they...
No, there's...
They're just completely gone, okay. Because last week we were talking about it, and I thought they were still going to salvage something out of it.
They played so well 2 weeks ago, I thought.
Yeah, they did. Like, 2 weeks ago, they had a pretty good finish. But, oh well, that's Overwatch teams, right? They can come and go so quickly. So it sounds like Stoop's playing for Northern Gaming now?
No, Stoop's playing with Cool Matt.
Oh, Stoop's playing with Cool Matt.
Cool Matt, Kusta, Stoop, IDQD, and...
What team is this?
Brain farting. I don't know. They don't have a team name yet. I'm just calling them the Cool Matt team.
Okay.
Stoop requested that we call them Team Stoop.
Team so Stoop. Like all right. That sounds good. Good stuff. Definitely good stuff. Okay. So, yeah, again, the two events. Check them out, guys. Going to be for big
money. Zoms and Bonneville.
Oh, my God.
No. They weren't playing with Zoms last night. They were playing with Buds last night.
That's good too.
That sounds like a good team.
Yeah, it sounds like a great team.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
And Mega Choose in chat from Northern Gaming, and he says that no, Stoop is not playing with them. So
okay.
I think,
okay.
There's an error on Liquipedia. My bad.
They were not playing Stoop.
Oh man. All right. Well, let's talk about, I guess, move on from esports. Talk about maybe some things happening in the community. Maybe the subreddit. So there's one thing that we skipped from earlier, which was the subreddit. You know, trying out their play of the game highlight. You know, I think they made a change in terms of posting that, where you had to post. It had to be a self post of your own play of the games and your highlights, as well as not linking directly to these images, these GIFs or videos. So you had to go through the making a discussion post that had a link to it. Generally, guys, we didn't talk about this last week. What do you guys think of that? That policy that they tried out for 1 week and it's since expired. But what do you guys think of it? Any comments, Jason?
Reddit's gonna be Reddit. I'm always in favor of just letting the upvote downvote system reign supreme. Of course. There are some cases like our games or whatever. I'm glad that you can't post image macros there, mm-hmm. Because that's all that our gaming is. So I'm glad that there's different subreddits for different purposes. But Reddit's going to be Reddit. I like watching hype play of the game moments. The problem I have is like at least 50% of the clips that get on the front page of the subreddit are like actually shit. They're like actually not good clips at all.
But people vote for them.
That'll change over time.
Yeah.
I don't know. There's only...
I'm looking at it right now, and let me read you what it is. Right. Killing time waiting for a game, GIF. My O must play the game, team kill after the buzzer, GIF. Friend of mine was playing this morning. This represents pretty much 65% of all matches video. Sometimes things just work out as Lucio, GIF. You get away from my team, D.Va, GIF. Excuse me for blocking you in, GIF. Suck my dick, GIF. It's going to happen. Like,
RIP
games
Reddit.
New, people who wanted to play the game in closed beta
this is
wanted
still
to, like,
early,
do, be able to do this stuff. So I just hope it goes more esports-centric as time goes on. That's my only hope.
I think this is natural, guys. I mean, like, seeing all these type of play of the games, eventually the community will, we'll see every single kind of situation and picture that can be shown, and then things will just start getting old, and then I think that's when we'll start seeing some more esport news and just...
And not to mention, another quick moment to plug our competitive Overwatch.
That's right.
Which currently has 450 people on it right now, which pales in comparison to the global, our Overwatch subreddit, but is still really, really good. Like, there are legitimate esports games that have less active subreddits than our competitive subreddit. So this is cool. I definitely recommend that if you want to post, learn, have discussion about the competitive scene, you just go over there, check it out, give it a subscribe.
Yeah, it's up to 24,000 subredditors now, or just redditors now that are subscribed to it. That's amazing.
On something I said earlier.
Yes.
I said that I thought that FaZe was picking up the Mendo team. It is not the Mendo team.
Okay. Okay. Even more info that we shouldn't be telling.
Exactly. All right.
Just to clarify.
Okay. What are some other community news here?
Can I ban Zovia in chat, by the way? Or will I get kicked off the show for doing that?
Ban her in chat?
I'm sorry. I already did it. It's too late.
I'll unban you. Ban you. Oh, you did. You're such an ass,
ban
dude.
The community manager of Overwatch. God. Like,
she knows what she deserved that for.
She's unbanned now.
She said the word lewd. What's wrong with you?
Goodness. Jeez.
It's not what she said. It's what she said.
I'm going to make you unmod you, actually.
Yeah, unmod Jason. Like, get some riots it's dangerous. In chat for unmodding Jason.
It's dangerous. I guess the last thing I'll mention is just more for our listeners that are just getting into the game and, you know, maybe not trying to figure out just some cool guys and things like that. There's a good Torbjorn turret guide that Lord Quinzelin actually made. It's a video that you can check out here. I'll link it in the chat so you guys can check it.
Don't send it to the general public, please.
Why not?
Abort the show. Abort it.
Abort the show. Hey man,
sorry
cool.
Guys, we're cracking up.
No, but it just the focus is on Anubis, and it really lays out just where to put it, and you know where the turret covers, and it's pretty good. It's actually a cool guide if you are looking for something like that. So check that out. You guys can again look it up, Lord Quinzelin, and Torbjorn turret guide. All right, let's take some questions, guys, before we call the show.
Did you get paid for that endorsement?
No, I didn't. I just thought it was cool, man. I like Probjorn sometimes, man.
Like a sellout mode.
Probjorn. No, I didn't. Jeez, I'm just trying to help out the community. Is that okay?
I see that.
Is that
$50
okay?
Slide into your PayPal
oh
right now.
Oh, my God. Whatever. Whatever. Okay, let's see if we have...
honestly, I think there's a huge niche open for highly educational, well-produced videos. A couple people are doing it.
Yeah, a couple people.
Ooh.
I'm still waiting to see really, really good ones, though. I mean, a pro or a semi-pro being like, this is how I play Genji, and, like, I animation cancel when I run up the wall like this, like, mm-hmm. expert-level skills, like, low-level skills, take you through the whole character, you know, things like that will do very well, I'm 100% sure.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of people don't realize, or at least maybe some people that watch the show don't realize that there are a lot of casual new players out there that don't know a lot of these little tricks and just general strategy when it comes to Overwatch. So these type of videos
speaking
are
of
super popular. Yeah.
Guide videos. A really good friend of mine, T Squared, who's a old school Halo 2, Halo 3 pro, is teaming up with another good friend of mine, Nice Guy Smile, who makes really, really amazing like montage videos. Are teaming up together to make individual hero guides for every single hero in the game, starting with Soldier 76. So that should be released next week. It's going to be super awesome.
Okay. Now, she got paid for that, guys. Okay, for sure. Like that was more of a plug. No, just kidding. All right, Rob White, the Rizzles, asks, now McCree and Widow are nerfed. Who do you think will be the next community outcry for a nerf? For a nerf? I don't know if
Roadhog.
Anything...
I don't know.
Roadhog?
Roadhog?
Roadhog.
What?
How many heroes in the game now have an instant kill button, basically? You have McCree with flashbang right click, you have Widow with a headshot now, it used to be kind of a body shot, and you have Roadhog, who can hook you in one shot, most squishy. The instant kill. Like, where's the skill involved in hitting someone with
no
a hook and killing them?
Whatsoever, and he's super slow.
Yeah, but you don't play Roadhog alone, you play Roadhog with like a Zarya or a Reinhardt to protect him. I can understand the whole McCree's more self-sustainable. I can understand that argument, but you know,
I mean, the
instant kill mechanic is annoying to people. But aren't they looking into the hook of him, where it like people are getting pulled around corners and stuff behind pillars when they shouldn't be? I remember
that's
seeing
like
something
a
like that.
Quality of life change, though. That's not a nerf. It's like,
that's a nerf.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
That's a huge nerf for Roadhog.
We're not going to allow you to pull through a building anymore.
The amount of times I depend on
that's a big deal.
Running by and jumping
through the ground.
Hey, don't you touch Roadhog. I love playing Roadhog.
I love these 20-tick bullshit hooks. It's great.
20-tick bullshit. Oh, my gosh. Seriously. No, I don't think, I mean, I don't have the issue of going through walls. I keep pulling people around corners and getting stuck, so I haven't actually seen too much of pulling through walls. You think he's broken? I don't think he's broken, actually. I can understand your logic, but I don't think he's actually too bad right now.
I mean, there's a difference between a one-shot mechanic and a combo. I brought this up last week when we were talking about how irritated I am with one-shots in the game and how Widowmaker's nerf made me really happy. But, yeah, there's a difference between a one-shot mechanic and a combo. Roadhog's one-shot is a combo. You could miss it. You could miss the one-shot.
Yeah, but you could miss the flashbang.
A diva, your friendly diva could save you. Your friendly May could save you.
You don't need to flashbang.
Don't ever say
friendly Zarya could save you.
Pre-nerf. You could just be standing behind someone, right-click them, and they die. Like
McCree's flashbang, it wasn't the combo. It was the power of the right-click. Like, it's fine that she can one-click. I mean, he can combo a Tracer or Genji. It's just not fine when he can combo just something ginormous like a tank. And
I just want to say,
I can't do that.
We've almost made it through an entire episode without talking about Hero Limit versus No Kill.
We're not talking about Hero Limit.
That's a first.
We're not talking about Hero Limit. We already said that.
I feel like we should mention the recent tournaments. No.
You're such an ass, man. We're not talking about Hero Limits. Everybody's tired of hearing about it.
Sorry, guys, Jason won't be able to make it to the show next week. Exactly. Busy.
Well, so now I can say I've been fired from LCS. Fired
from
the show.
No.
Good stuff.
Basically on the same level.
That's right, man. That's right. At least we like to think that.
I got a quick question in chat from Walker Nash. Has Blizzard supported the pro scene in any way other than the competitive system they're implementing? No, not really.
Yeah.
Not yet.
Not
yet. I mean, they're working directly with us. There's a very open line of communication between the competitive community and the community managers, developers, managers, the people making the competitive rule set. There's a very open dialogue. But in terms of promoting or supporting tournaments directly, that hasn't happened yet.
The ESL 100K tournament at Gamescom, that's a Blizzard sponsored event.
Okay.
There we go.
That's coming up in 2 months.
Past tense.
Yeah.
Hasn't happened yet, but
fine.
I said yet.
Fine.
I said yes.
Fine. I'll give you that.
But yes, we have the first major Blizzard supported tournament coming up in August at Gamescom, so that should be hype.
Jason's like, don't forget about ESL.
I mean, it's the first of its kind tournament. My handsome face might be there, depending on whether or not I screw myself over.
Okay. Any other questions here? I have a question.
Somebody brought up what was her name? Zarya or something like that. The competitive Zarya. Or there was a video floating around on Reddit like 1 or 2 days
crazy,
ago.
Crazy, ridiculous.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah. Oh, actually, I was talking about this. Yeah, yeah.
Who's apparently the number one ranked in Korea right now in terms of score per minute or kill death ratio or something like that.
Win rate or something.
She's ridiculous.
And she's a lady. Like, how cool
is
that?
A lady.
Yep.
It's awesome. Don't do what?
Don't differentiate between a pro, someone who's really good at the game who's a girl, and really good at the game as a guy. Who cares if she's a girl? She's good.
I do. Ooh, it's good for the female competitive community to have a role model like that.
Don't differentiate it. Don't split it up. Okay. Just, yay, someone's good at the game. Woo!
Okay, continue with the story, because the story gets a little bit more interesting, too, with the Zarya.
Yeah. Yeah. Apparently, there were accusations. She was so good that people were accusing her of hacking, and then apparently Blizzard Korea came in and said, officially, she is not hacking. So that's interesting for a couple reasons. But mainly because Blizzard is officially commenting on a single player hacking, so that doesn't happen very often. I don't even know the real context. Like, I'm just getting this hearsay from Reddit or whatever. I don't know.
Well, there's all these interesting stories around it too. I linked it in chat, just the Reddit post about it. But they did an interview with her, right? And they even had her come on stage and just kind of had a camera behind her, kind of showing her gameplay at the same time. I mean, it's not the thing that's going to prove anything, you know, but Blizzard already came out and said it. So anyways, they had this interview with her, and then, you know, she explained that she's just been so stressed out because of all of it. And I mean, I think two pro players even went to the extent of, when they reported her, saying that they would quit. They would quit the pro scene if she was proven not to be a hacker. And so they have. They actually did it because of pressure, because now that she's been, you know, obviously exonerated, they quit too. So it's all this craziness that's been going on, and
so two
harassment.
People actually quit. Mm-hmm. They held to their word and actually quit. Oh,
yeah,
God.
Yeah, yeah, they did. I think they were just getting pressured too, just by the public.
That's crazy.
And stuff. Yeah. So, anyways, there's lots of hate and all that stuff. We talked about hacking and all the accusations and things before on this show, and again, it's just like, you know.
I mean, Blizzard can clearly see it. Yeah. They banned like 1,500 people.
A lot of the stuff that they were pointing out too wasn't even bad. Like, you know, if you watch that video and they, you know, they have these circle things, and it didn't even seem that bad anyway. She's just really good. She's crazy good with zoning and just predictive type of moves. It's really good. She's just really, really good.
What was the alias?
It started with a G. Here, let me link you the...
It was something that sounded like Zarya. It was like Zarya or something like that.
I don't think it was. I think it was like Gori or something. It was Gaguri. Gaguri. Yeah.
6.31 KDA?
Yeah. She's what? Crazy.
80% win rate with 420
games played. Yes.
And now she's done.
Now she's done. She'll never play another one again. Oh man. Okay, we'll have one or two more questions. Let's take some from the chat. Anybody in the chat want to ask you a question? Yeah. Let's see.
So wait, actually, for banning her.
While we're waiting, like,
remember that tournament you're supposed to be casting? Oh yeah, you're not anymore.
Oh, we're not supporting it. We're still yet to support a tournament in 2016. While we're waiting, a big shout out to our audio listeners too. A lot of people don't realize that just this show, the overview, also has an audio version. There's a lot of people that listen to the show via that iTunes and Android podcast. So a big shout out to those guys, and a big shout out to Gone Sky GG for a 5-star rating. Thank you so much for that. It helps the show out a ton for other folks to discover the show. Any questions you guys see?
Someone asked about the rumored D.Va changes.
Oh yeah. Whatever happened.
I don't think they're not happening. I think in the forum post, if you read what they actually said about it, they said after Widow and McCree changes, they'd consider talking about D.Va. They never said it would happen at the same time. They said after the changes happened. So it's not to say they won't still happen. Mm-hmm. It just meant that they were dealing with Widow and McCree first and wanted to make sure those changes went through properly and were done done well. And then maybe after that, we'll see D.Va changes.
Okay. Yeah, that'd be cool to see D.Va. I've been trying to play. I thought it was going to happen, so I started playing D.Va a little bit more again, because it's been a while since I played her, and nothing yet.
Dude, I've been playing D.Va, and people just don't know how to deal with D.Va. Like,
I know, right?
She works in pubs, because people are just dumb, and they don't get it. So.
Well, they're just like, oh, I can't kill this big, chunky, armored thing. And then
I think the problem is actually the baby D.Va, not the actual.
Oh, yeah, dude. Itself. Pilot D.Va is awesome. I freaking love it. We were doing 6 D.Va
headshots. Her body is so tiny, and she's so hard to hit, and she just spams her rifle in your face. It's like, what do you do?
It's the snake action. Okay, Skyboots asks, gosh, things moving so fast. Do you foresee any large complications in the land setting for this game competitively? I mean, have we seen anything?
We had a land server at PAX East, and it worked, so I don't think so.
Yes, land server.
I thought it was really sick, too, that they could, like, modify things mid-game. So, like, we had to do a restart for some reason, and, like, they could put the game instantly in overtime. They could, like, tweak a lot of these different settings. That was really cool.
Oh,
so,
really?
Only thing I'm worried about is if, like, what if a game crashes mid-game? Will they have like a replay system where they can like load the replay back in, like in CS, like mid-round, so you don't lose your cash? But this way, you don't lose your ult percent, you don't lose your positioning, so that you can instantly rejoin the game. Would be really cool, and I hope that's something that they're gonna have.
Okay, yeah, I mean, they're doing a great job.
I'm just worried about Spectator. That's pretty much the only thing I'd be worried about.
Yeah, and they mentioned it. They're going to be coming out with some more stuff later this summer. excited to see that. All right, well, I think that's going to be it, guys. Thanks for the questions, and why don't we wrap up the show? Good stuff this week. Any shout-outs you guys want to do? Ben, you want to start?
Sure. Watch OG Invitational this weekend and watch the Onog Operation Breakout. That's what it's called.
Yep.
I unfortunately haven't casted in a while, and I'm probably not going to cast for another little while because I'm going to a wedding this weekend, and then I'm going on vacation next weekend. So it hurts, you know, man. I wish I could be with you guys again, but
we forgot to ask you. How was E3, casual. By the way? How was E3, by the way?
Like, E3 was red. It had nothing to do with Overwatch. Other than the one thing that had to do with Overwatch was literally the booth right next to the Twitch booth. Though I guess I'll say one thing. Overwatch looks so good on a gigantic screen. They had like a 14, 15 foot diameter diagonal screen, and Overwatch holds up on a screen of that size and quality. Oh my God, it looked great. But yeah, there wasn't really anything Overwatch related. I had a great time. But yeah, I will be back after my vacation. So mid-July. Then I go to Evo.
This guy's just busy. This guy's so bored.
Boo-hoo, I get to go to events all the time for my job.
Damn.
It sucks. Sucks. But I'll be back, and I'm going to try to stream a little bit, maybe this week. I don't know, probably not. But anyway, you can follow me on Twitter, and I'll just tweet about cool Overwatch-related things there, at Fishsticks. Like, right there.
Right there, exactly. Shade? There.
Shout out to you guys as normal. I love doing the show with you every week. And shout out to my subs in chat. It always makes me smile when I see them like spam my little Shagasms and Mercy Wings. It's so cute. So shout out to you guys and my viewers. I'm going to stream after this. So if you want to come hang out, probably check out PTR and Ranked and stuff. So
Yes.
Yeah. And follow me on Twitter at ShadeOW.
Okay, Jason.
Give me my standard shout to my parents. Wouldn't be here without them. Not because they had sex, but because they let me do what I wanted to do. Shout outs to ESL for letting me do Overwatch, to Mitch, to Demon for my casting partners, and you guys for being here on a week-to-week basis.
All right, and I will, I guess, round things out by thanking the three of you guys for doing the show with me. I just modded Zovia, by the way, so no more kicking her out. So no more kicking her out.
I was just about to ban her again.
Banner.
No, you can't ban her. But yeah, thanks.
I can do anything I want.
That's true. Ben can do anything he wants. Thanks to all of you guys for watching, all you guys for listening to on the podcast. And the YouTube VODs will be up in about an hour on youtube.com/chammv. And the audios usually take a little bit longer. They'll probably be, I'm not even sure if I'm, I always release them at like midnight at night, which is probably not good. So I might just wait till tomorrow morning to do it. But definitely look out for that on iTunes and Google Podcast or Google Music Podcast as well. Stitcher and all those other places too. You can find it. But that's going to be it, guys. Yeah. Tune in, obviously play the PTR, tune in all the events and just enjoy Overwatch. Until then, or at least until next week, for Fishsticks, Shade and Jason Kaplan, I'm Chamman V and we'll see you next time. Later.
Bye.
You just all synchronize a hand wave on accident.
I didn't.
Okay, I gotta.